You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
But now here on Racing Radio, my name's John Gibby. Craig Forsyth is still with us. Craig, how are you?
Yeah, very well, thanks, John. Very well indeed.
Good to have you with us, Craig Forsyth, over the course of the day. And we've got a bit of a gap before our next race, so we're going to have a look at some of your horses to follow, Craig, for the upcoming National Hunt season. And of course, the season really cranking up again now. We're looking forward to seeing over this weekend coming and the following week some of the better horses coming out. And you've picked out some names here, including, I think it's fair to say, for the most part, not necessarily the most obvious names that you're looking forward to seeing in particular.
Well, you always try and stay away from the obvious ones, John, when you're ever trying to compile a list like this. And it's not always easy. I think, you know, what have we got in here? We've got a novice chaser, a handicap hurdler, a novice hurdler, another handicap chaser. I just tried to spread the variety, really. A dark horse, if you like, that I've stuck in there. And one that I think could be quite smart come the end of the season that hasn't hit those heights at the moment. So, yeah, just trying to get the balance right, really, of, you know, trying to put an interesting list that, of course, needs to be profitable as well as, you know, good to read.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, why don't we kick off with your first horse to follow for this 2019-2020 National Hunt season?
Yeah, they're not in any particular order. I put them down in. We're going with the novice chaser, Getaway Trump. A horse last year who, you know, improved throughout his season over hurdles. One thing to note from him was how well he travelled in those races. And at Sandown on his final start, he was carrying a big weight, but the way he quickened after the last that day to go and put 4 or 5 lengths between himself and some useful horses in behind, some real useful handicappers, couldn't go with him, was a really good performance. And to be honest, you know, I didn't know what to make of him in terms of being a chaser, because he wasn't one that stood out for his physique. You know, he's more an athletic type. He made his chasing debut at Cheltenham. He once again came up against Al Dancer, who beat him in the restaging of the Betfair Hurdle at Ascot last year. And for me, Johnny's jumping was nearly perfect at the first time of asking. He was quick and he was accurate rather than being big and bold. And that's the size, that's the way he is. You know, just a real athletic type. And just the way he cruised into contention off the home bend, he looked to be travelling all over Al Dancer. And of course, you know, Paul Nicholls gave a pre-race interview saying he was hoping for a good run but wasn't necessarily expecting him to win, given that he was, you know, going to come on an awful lot for the run in soft conditions up the hill. You know, on his first start back, just found him out and he just blew up, really. But the way he jumped and the way he traveled throughout that suggests to me that he could take, you know, close to top rank in the 2 mile novice chase division this year. I think in terms of the ground, I think he will get away with most grounds in lesser contests. But once you get to the spring and, you know, some of the championship races taking on the better horses, I think you'll probably see him to best effect on a sound surface.
And of course, looking back over his novice hurdle season, he did come on for the run as well as his first run over hurdles. So perhaps we can expect the same on his second run over fences.
Absolutely. And, you know, the whole yard has been brought along in that way. You know, it's a long season and they haven't been knocked about, and, you know, plenty of condition on them when they've been sent back for their seasonal debuts. And it was just a really pleasing round of jumping. And, you know, I think he'll, as you say, will improve dramatically the next time we see him.
Okay, so the next one on the list, you've gone for one from the Kimbaley Yard.
Yeah, I mean, this would be top if I had to put them in any order. I mean, as Andy knows, I text them, and for me, this has been one of the performances of the season, Imperial Aura of Kimbaley's. This is a handicap hurdler who's now rated 136. He had a late campaign last season, and he never posted any eye-watering numbers on the clock or anything like that because of the races he was in. You know, the form didn't look overly strong when you just took a straight view at what he was achieving. But there was a lot to like, you know, about the way he was travelling through his races. Plenty of enthusiasm, you know, that was a characteristic in him. You know, he was keen, but he was also very strong at the business end. And when he reappeared this year, he started back out in the Silver Trophy at Chepstow. Usually a very good handicap to follow in terms of form. And for me, he posted a personal best by some way in that they went a really mad early gallop. The front three collapsed, turning for home. You know, they were out the back of the TV. And Imperial Ola took up the running from that stage. And he himself injected yet more pace into the race and went a couple of lengths on. I mean, obviously, he was no match for the first couple home in the end. But to go that pace for so long and then kick again on his first start back, I thought was a massive effort. An effort that you can upgrade by a country mile from the bare form for me. The handicapper put him up three, which I think is more than fair. You know, in terms of his physique, he's a tall, leggy individual. He's got plenty of scope. He's got a nice action for soft ground. So, you know, doesn't matter how bad a winter we get, shouldn't really concern him. And he will jump a fence when the time comes. But there's got to be a good handicap in this lad very soon. You know, for me, so far, he's been one of the eye catchers of the season.
Okay, Imperial Aura then, one to watch in handicap hurdles this season for Craig. What's the next horse on the list?
Yeah, we're going for a horse trained by Colin Tizard, Léa Duvant, who I think is one to maybe take a longer-term view on rather than try and profit from him straight away. You know, the aim with Imperial Aura, obviously, is to find the right race and hopefully a nice price. Everything fits fairly soon. But with this horse, I think he's one to take a longer view over the course of the season, because I think what he will do is just keep on improving. You know, it's going to be another 12 months probably before we see the best of him when he goes over a fence, given how he looks with his physique. You know, he certainly impressed when he won a bumper at Bangor back in April. He quickened clear nicely on that occasion and, you know, reappearing in what looked a decent novice hurdle at Cheltenham. There was plenty of confidence behind him in the market on that occasion, John, but it was a farce of a race. They went no pace, they crawled, and they basically turned it into a sprint up the hill, and that did not really suit. You know, one thing to note from his jumping was he was a little bit big and he was a little bit awkward, and that's due to his size. He is quite a big lad. So there's masses of room for improvement in that department, certainly. And for me, he just looks the type that will mature. He will, you know, he will learn, he will develop, and he will just get better as the season goes on and could make up into a graded novice hurdler before, obviously, next year, you know, going over fences. But I still think there's some graded races to be won with him over the smaller obstacles this year.
It's come from a point-to-point background and run over, well, 2 miles five on hurdling debut. Do you think he's going to be one to look for potentially staying novice hurdles in time or keeping over the mid-distances?
Yeah, I mean, he's seen his race out fairly well over 2.5 on his return. But he did show speed of Bangor because, you know, he quickened away well. So in terms of an optimum distance at this stage, I would say it's probably hard to put a number on that in terms of how far he wants to go. I think at the moment he looks versatile. But one thing he doesn't want is, you know, a novice hurdle that's run at a crawl that turns into a sprint, because he just isn't that type of horse. So, you know, I think a truer run race will definitely bring about more improvement.
Okay, well, who's the next horse on the list then? I see you've gone for Sandy Thompson St. Leo, in fact.
It is. You know, how can we compile a list without a horse in the north being on it, John? You know, so it's only fair that there's only one, but there had to be, really. And
I did think this looked like your sort of horse. Sandy Thompson trained, recent runs, Perth, Kelso, Ayr, you know.
Well, it was actually Weatherby where he first went into the notebook and last year's Castleford Chase. He finished a good fourth on that occasion. You look at the front three home, they all raced up with a pace that day. And he caught the eye coming from a long way back, doing by far the best of the hold-up horses. And I thought that was a major performance. You know, I was all over him on his next start at Ayr. I thought, you know, he looked a really well-handicapped chaser. He travelled particularly well. You know, for me, he looked the winner turning into the straight. But unfortunately, he just crumpled on landing four out and that was the end of his race. So, you know, it was costly. Obviously, they decided that, you know, a move to hurdles would probably be the best for his confidence on his next start. But it wasn't just any old race. He went in a very competitive handicap hurdle at Kelso, running a quick time. You know, the form has worked out extremely well. And he ran well on the back of a fall at Ayr. You know, it was a likeable performance. And you know, you've got to say, even if they shelved his chasing career for another 12 months, he'd be well capable of winning races over the smaller obstacles. But they decided to go back to chasing. You know, he went to the Perth Festival and 0-150. It was a very strong race. And on that day, he jumped well. You know, the fall didn't seem to dent his confidence in any way returning to fences. But he couldn't match a rejuvenated and very well handicapped Big Mark that day, who skipped round from the front, jumped well, met everything on a stride. And, you know, for St. Leo, had a good battle for second, just coming off second best in that battle and finishing third. He's been dropped £3. He's now rated 130. For me, I think the Castleford Chase has to be an early season target, but he's well up to winning a race before then. And he has an entry on Saturday, the 2nd of November, in a 2-mile handicap chase at Ayr. So he's been declared for that.
So after we're recording, this might be before the listeners hear this, potentially.
So hopefully he's got a winning on the board. Yes. You know, I know Mountie's been pushing some trainers' names in terms of, you know, the time of year for following trainers. And obviously the obvious ones, Venetia Williams, Sue Smith. But Sandy Thompson, he is a trainer that does particularly well in the winter months. And hopefully St. Leo can take him to, you know, a few nice places. Obviously, Sandy had a couple of nice horses last year, winning some nice races at Wetherby and the rehearsal chase at Newcastle. And hopefully St. Leo, obviously over shorter distances, can do him proud this year.
Okay, two horses left on the list. Who's the first going to be?
This is the dark one, John. Rated only 116. But this was a horse, you know, when you look through your notes from last year to try and refresh your mind, this was a horse that had pretty strong notes against. So I thought it would be too good to include him. A major eye catcher, Samando, at Exeter and Huntingdon last year. He was poorly placed on both occasions. He was held up well out of his ground. He wasn't really given a winning chance on either of those two starts. And for me, he finished off full of running on both occasions under a hands and heels ride. Both races, in terms of the form, worked out well. I think the David Pipe horse who won the Exeter contest is now rated in the 130s. And when you look at the Huntingdon race, the first five home that beat him that day are now rated between 125 and 142. And this is a horse rated 116. And you've got to think he could have been much closer on both occasions, had he been ridden a little bit more prominently in his races. I think that he is an extremely well-handicapped horse when he returns to the track. And I think, you know, ultimately he will prove much better than what he's rated at this present time.
Yeah, it is a dark one. Samando, then, from Craig for John Joe O'Neill. And now the final horse on the list, Craig.
Yeah, we're going for the David Pipe horse. And Umbrigado was a horse for me that impressed last year. He won a novice and a maiden event at Southwell and Exeter. And when you look at those races, though, you know, the form worked out well. He easily took care of a Venetia Williams horse. It's the Harry Whittington horse, isn't it, Cage? Yeah. Rated 137. And Ask Dylan, who went on to win a nice contest at Ascot, who's now rated 137.
Fergal O'Brien's horse.
Yes. So, you know, the way he brushed aside those two early in the season, marked him down as a smart recruit. He then took a big step up in terms of the grade. Grade 1, Mersey Novices Hurdle at Aintree, but nothing went right for him at all, really, in that race. He was forced wide early. He ended up all over the track. You know, he faced a battle trying to make up his ground, racing against the bias of the race. But I think what you've got to take from that is the way he stuck to his task and the way he ran strongly to the line. And he's seen his race out particularly well. He's been given a mark of 142, which I think certainly looks on the lenient side. You know, I think you've got to think he's going to go for a handicap on his return before hopefully he moves up and has a go at some graded races. In terms of a starting point, I think it's next Saturday, the old fixed brush hurdle race at Haydock. It's now run over the conventional hurdles.
The not-so-fixed brush hurdle.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, David Pipe's targeted a few good horses at that race in the past. And I think Ombrigado is the ideal type off a mark of 142 for that race. And, you know, I think he's a really smart horse that hopefully can get back on track after disappointing the Aintree.
Well, Craig, thanks very much for those. Thanks for your insight. You said when talking about one in particular, was it Imperial Aura you meant your main
one? Yeah, I think he's the most exciting for the short term, and you know, in terms of him reappearing, hopefully somewhere soon, in a good race. You know, like I said, I was particularly impressed. I thought, in the words of Andy sitting next to me here recording, he ran his face off in that Chepstow race, and. I think, you know, a £3 rise is lenient. It's more than fair. And I think he's in an extremely well-handicapped horse.
Greg, thanks for joining us. We'll look forward to hearing from you across the national hunt season here on William Hill Racing Radio.
Thank you, John.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.